And y'all are fun. There's something I've been meaning to tell you about. Kit and I wanted to be here on the same Sunday to do this, but this beautiful bell that we have, it came about because in the summer of 2019, Kit and Cindy were in Santa Fe. And they saw this bell, or a bell like it. They saw a collection of bells and thought it would be excellent for our chiming here at church. So with a combined vision with Cindy and Kit and me, this bell came to our church. And I hope that you will come up and take a closer look at it after the service or sometime. You don't have to touch it. Please don't bang it. But it's got a beautiful crystal here at the top. It's got the signature on it. It's got a beautiful piece of fossilized stone here. It's powerful and it's musical. And it happened because there was a collective vision. And so thank you. Thank you for assuring that this bell became part of our family here. Are you breathing this morning? Yeah, I'm not. So I think I'll try for a little bit if you'll breathe. I wasn't trying to illustrate anything there, but I don't know where to be where my shirt's not going to do that, so I think we're all feeling the cusp of what we're standing on right now. That which was and that which is to be. And I've talked with many of you, and I know what's going on in some of your lives, but collectively, we are moving toward something. As a spiritual community that meets here in this building, as a larger community that this church touches, as a human collective in the world, we are taking the great inhale for the exhale into the next thing. So wherever you are today, it's okay. If you're feeling uncertain or tender or vulnerable or tremulous, good word. If you're feeling those things today, go ahead and feel them. We have tissues around here if you need tissues. So just be with wherever you are today because we're all experiencing this. And I'm standing here today as kind of the mouthpiece for that. And these musicians have illustrated through the vibration of music, the same thing. Our daily word is about it today, let go and let God. And the title of the talk today is about how to live with second force. Second force is kind of an old terminology. I guess it comes from physics. But, you know, once you get something in motion, it usually continues in motion. And in the absolute, it does. But in the human experience, in the fleshly experience, sometimes we run into a wall that I'm going to call second force. And most of the time that happens when we have made a commitment to a new part of our spiritual growth. But in the midst of that, we run into some obstacles, some seeming obstacles. Now, I'm not talking about this as a guarantee that this will happen to you. But I'm talking about it because I know you've already experienced it. And the thing that we're about is getting used to that second force, getting used to that that seeming obstacle or obstacles that jump up in front of us when we've made a commitment that would have us turn around and go the other direction. You know that one? Is that familiar to you? You know, like that old joke about praying for patience? And I want it right now. And so what you get when you pray for patience is a lot of opportunities to practice patience. If you want to experience joy in every situation, I can tell you that you're going to run into situations that do not feel joyful. And the reason that this happens is because when we make a move forward in our spiritual growth, we then discover the things in us, old ways of thinking, conditioned thinking, old beliefs, old habits, that stand in the way of that move forward. It is the natural order of things. That if we're going to move forward, we have to let go of what doesn't work and cooperate with that movement forward. Are you with me? Just shake your head. See, I'm with you. Or you can go, I have no idea what you're talking about. This is a natural part of our spiritual life, and we're about getting used to that. We're about saying, oh, that's what this is. Oh, I get it. Of course I've made a decision and now I'm scared to death. Of course I've made this decision to do this new thing and now I'm doubting myself. Oh, I'm supposed to be moving forward with this transaction. Why am I having so many difficulties getting this transaction through? And it's not God saying, no, that's not it. Because God doesn't do that. Spirit is with us in everything that we do. So remember, as I talk about this today, that whenever you run into this second force, which is also called chemicalization, which I will describe to you in a moment. If you've been around Unity, been around New Thought for a while, you know about chemicalization. But here's what I want you to remember as we talk about this. Every time you run into yourself, remember that what moves you through this is the same spirit that had you make that decision, make that commitment in the first place. That same spirit that urges you to that next part of your spiritual growth, that next part in your unfoldment, is the same spirit that will comfort you and show you the way. Give you the flashlight that illuminates the next steps. I was thinking about something today. I don't know why it took so long to click with me. But you know that the tree of life is a symbol that is popular in many ways. And it goes through many cultures. Remember that the Buddha sat under a tree until he was reaching enlightenment. And the tree of life in the old Norse culture, it's the tree that holds all things, the Yggdrasil. It's in Celtic culture. It's everywhere. It's in scripture from the very beginning in Genesis, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so I know that that symbol's been important to me throughout my life. Many, many years ago, my mother and I got matching rings that had a tree of life on it. And then when my children were in middle school, one of the benefits for their school every year was at 10,000 Villages in Austin. And they would donate a portion of their sales on an evening. And we got a big wall hanging of the Tree of Life that was made in Ethiopia. We still have it. And my children are many years past middle school. I know that, oh, some of you don't know this. I have a tattoo right here. It's kind of a stylized version of the Tree of Life. Right here on my arm. Are you shocked? Good. Because it's not the only one I have. And it may not be my last one either. But I got something that means a lot to me here on my arm. And don't ask me to show it to you because I'm wearing a shirt where I can't, so sorry. So that symbol is important to me. And I have a pendant that I wear, I don't have it on today, that has the Yggdrasil on it. Because my people come from that Northern European, Scottish, Nordic heritage. 23andMe said so. So there you go. So you know, you all know by now that I bought a house in Driftwood. And that decision to move was kind of like, now, do it. Put this in motion. And it happened so fast. It happened so fast, it took my breath away. I didn't really even have time to second guess myself because it happened so quickly, except in the middle of the night when I thought, oh my God, what am I doing? What am I doing? This is huge. Because moving out of the home I'd lived in after all this time was, it's still an enormous task to get this house on the market. But I noticed the other day, and I don't know why I didn't click to this, the quickest way into, I live in Rimrock over off 1826, the quickest way into the subdivision from Austin to my house is on Crystal Hills. And what's at the entrance to Crystal Hills but a beautiful tree of life on the sign that's illuminated at night? Okay. Thank you. Got it. So sometimes we don't see the evidence that we've made the right move until after it's done. We have to look back. And that's what the value is in looking back at our journey, is to say, yes, that worked. I didn't know that that would work out, but it did. I didn't know that years and years and years ago when I met Mindy Audlin here, that I would end up standing here. I was at another church and I brought my board here for retreats. And it was like, wow, that Wimberley church is really nice. I really like those people. I still do. And aren't we all glad we like each other? And I took time off from ministry for 10 years. To spend more time raising my kids, take a little rest. I've been hard at it for a long time. And then when I came back, I was like, well, isn't this interesting that here I am in Wimberley? So what we're going to run into is a shift that will change the very cellular structure of our bodies. Yeah, breathe on that, would you? And your body will feel it. They used to make a joke when I was going to classes before I went to ministerial school. I'd go for 2 weeks to Unity Village in the summers. They would talk about chemicalization, and they'd say, be careful. If you're going to do denials of that which would have power over you, make sure you add the affirmations to replace what it is you're letting go of. Because if all you're doing is eliminating, your body is going to do a whole lot of eliminating. Am I clear? So you need to, and it's true. I've been there. So you want to make sure that if you're using the tools of denials and affirmations, and if you don't know what that is, I probably need to teach you another class about it, but denials is not about the psychological denial to pretend like a thing doesn't exist. It's about saying, oh, this stands as a barrier in my movement forward in my life. And I deny this having power over me. Now, those of you who've been in 12-step programs, you know that the first thing you experience when you get clean or sober is you experience a euphoria after you've detoxed. It's like, oh, wow, I am free of this. And then you run smack into yourself, which is why the big book, 12 Steps is so important because it gives you tools for handling the three biggies that run the show: fear, anger, resentment. Fear, anger, and resentment. Have I got that right? Yes. Fear, anger, and resentment. I got to deal with those things. I got to deal with my fear. Ugh. I've got to deal with my anger. I've got to deal with my resentment. No. Not that. I would, please let me hold this grudge. Please, God. Please. I just don't want to give that up yet. I don't care if it gives me heartburn. I don't care if it wakes me up in the middle of the night. I don't care if it gets my adrenaline going. I want to hang on to my resentment, please. Or we say, yes, I know that bad thing happened in my life, but I don't want to deal with it. Guess what, beloved? It's dealing with you already. So look at it. Look at it and see where it's running your show. Because it is. It is. So I'm going to give you the textbook definition. Is it hot in here or is it just me?
Okay, I'll turn the AC back on.
But, okay.
Watch
yeah. It's okay. I'd rather float in the cool than droop in the heat. So I found this reading from Lenten readings from 2013. And this reading is about Gethsemane. Okay, it says, Jesus had richly enjoyed his human experience as Jesus. He would gladly have continued it longer if that were possible, but he acceded to the will of God, the spiritual energy that moved him forward. We can easily identify with the bittersweet awareness that change is inevitable, that our comfortable and secure existence takes turns into the unknown. Are you listening? We may know, as Jesus surely knew, that only greater and greater good awaits. But we also know that every step into a new spiritual dimension seems at first to produce confusion and disruption. Emily Cady, in Lessons in Truth, called this process chemicalization. It is brief, but it is can be intense. And I say, no kidding. Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, wrote that this breaking up and passing away of old error states of mind and making ready for the new is a process in soul evolution of all those who are faithfully following Jesus in his full expression of the Christ. It doesn't matter if you agree with Jesus or not, if you believe in Jesus or not. You know what Jesus taught. You know that Jesus taught what all the great masters taught. And you want to follow in that line of living, do you not? So if you're going to do that, you're going to run into some disruptions as you do that. Do you know that they took the teaching about chemicalization out of Unity materials for about 20 years because they didn't want to scare people? We're not going to talk about the fear that you're having because we're afraid. Where's the logic there, I would ask? So here's the thing. We may as well talk about it because it happens, right? It happens. We run right into ourselves. We're going, no, don't make me change that way of thinking. I like it. I don't know what it looks like without it. That's what gets us. I don't know what's out there. I can tell you what's out there, beloved. Good, with a capital G. That's what's out there. Week before this last one, I was online for the Unity People's Convention that occurs annually except for 2020. And it was so inspiring and refreshing, even online. It was fantastic. And, okay, Unity Worldwide Ministries, our executive director is a young, dynamic man named Shad Groverland, Reverend Shad Groverland. He grew up in Unity, born into Unity, powerful parents in Unity. And he, when he got ready to make his address to our assembled body in the business meeting, he said that one of his colleagues told him one time, Shad, could you make your talk just a little bit fluffier? You get it? You know that fluffy, I translate that to let me entertain you. Let me tell you about light and sweetness and all those things and nothing else. And Shad said, okay, I got to tell you, my talk today is not going to be fluffy. My talk with you today is not going to be fluffy. It hadn't been fluffy so far. It has made you laugh. But it's because we identify with that struggle. We identify with the fact that either by our choosing or by life circumstances, one of the, yeah, that's fluffy. Life is going to come at us, my friends. It does, doesn't it? I would be negligent as a minister if I didn't say, yes, this is what you're going to encounter and you're going to be okay. You are okay. Listen, I did not want to come today. I didn't want to come to church today. I didn't want to come to church because I've got to face change. And it would have been really easy just to pull that nice weighted blanket up over my face and say, nope, not doing it today, God. But we stand in the midst of change today, my friends. Years and years ago, when Kit and I first met each other, didn't know what was coming. Couldn't have seen it. Could not have seen it until we did. And then it was like this glorious vision unfolded right in front of us. And we've lived it out in front of you for over 3 years. And now Kit and Cindy are moving with their heart's calling to their other home in Michigan, to Kit's original heart home where she was born. And we know, I've got a little part of me today that's just saying, okay, this is really just Kit going away for the summer. She's done that before. We're good. It's all going to be fine. It's all just going to be fine. And then sometime in August or September, I'll go, oh, crap. We have a glorious vision that has not been fully revealed to us yet. And we don't know what it looks like. We have unlimited possibilities before us, things that we don't even know we don't know yet. And there's a huge part of me going, I don't want unlimited possibilities. That's okay with me. I want things to kind of stay the way they've been because it's a good formula. Please, no unlimited possibilities. But what would that be? How much would that end up hurting? The thing is, I trust the voice of God in Kit and Cindy. I trust that voice in them. I trust it like I trust my own. I trust that voice in them. And if they're going to their highest good, it cannot disrupt the highest good of all the rest of us. It cannot. That's the way it works. The highest good for one cannot take away from the highest good for all, no matter how it looks. no matter how uncertain it is. I trust it. Damn. I cursed on the platform, and I have a tattoo. I'm going to hell. That's it. I'll see some of y'all there, so. So I've got this chemicalization thing going on. Feels like grief. Feels like a dread. I've got a little bit of dread. It's like, I'm going to have to work harder.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me present to you in living form chemicalization. But the truth is, underneath all of that stuff, there's a deep joy. I like adventure. Kit likes adventure. We have known in the last 16 months what we can do regarding stepping out of our comfort zone, doing things we're not used to doing, stretching our professional skills. You'd think after 30 years I'd kind of have it down pat. Let me tell you, it's a never-ending journey. We've stretched our professional skills. We see the directions that the world is moving into. We see people who would rather not go back to the office. Some people want that collegial environment, but some people are saying, no, this works for me. And so they're quitting jobs if they're forced to go back. Who ever thought that would happen? I mean, I read about the world we're living in now in science fiction books 40 years ago. Yeah? The world of internet. I was a little panicky because I wanted to find my Fillmore material, and I hadn't unpacked all my good old-fashioned Unity books. I hadn't unpacked them yet. I went, oh, yeah, the internet. Found everything I needed. I'm not getting rid of all my books, but still. Beloved, it's up to you to determine where your growing edge is. Because it's probably been nudging you for a little while. They do that. And we shove it away, and we shove it away, and we shove it away until it will not leave us alone. And it's more painful to resist it than it is to flow with it. We do that as humans. It's our condition. We do that. It might be about setting boundaries with somebody that you've dreaded setting boundaries with because you think it's going to be hard and they're not going to like you and they'll never speak to you again and you don't have the courage and you see you have a long list of excuses that is your old way of thinking. And the truth is, if you set a boundary, you're doing a favor for yourself and for the other. Whether they know it or not, it's not your business whether they get it. It's your business to set that boundary. It might be about changing jobs, partners, homes, cars. Something in your routine that needs to get shaken up a little bit. And so we put off those decisions. Why do we do that? We do it because we don't want it to be painful, but it becomes painful not to. What if I talk to you about tithing? That's always a good one, because I would guess that some of you are going, nope, not doing the tithing thing. Mm-mm. Don't have enough money to tithe. Beloved, you don't have enough money not to. I heard one thing in a prosperity course one time that I took and taught. I think I went through the course 13 times altogether. And it said, the 90% you have after tithing will go farther than the 100% that you had before. Now, that sounds impossible, except in the realm of spirit. Is it your right and your inheritance to live abundantly? Then give abundantly and experience more abundance. That's the way it works. Step over that barrier. The same course used to say, lower the screen of anxiety. Just let it go down and step through. Because that's where the rest of life is, on the other side, you see. So I don't want this to be the last Sunday that Kit and Cindy are living in Wimberley and we're doing this service together. I don't want it to be so. And yet, I love them. I love my partner in crime, my soul companion, my professional companion. I want her here, right here. But I love her enough to say, go fly. Go spread those wings and see what's on the other side of this. I can't wait to see what your journey shows us. I can't wait to see what we do together. I can't wait to see. You. You're so right to just kind of, yeah. You little bundle of activist energy. Go up there and kick their butts. And I'm going to check in with you. Don't you ever let societal norms, naysayers, concrete-footed people stand in your way. Do not let that second force stop you from that calling in your heart. Because I love you. And I know what you're going to do. Don't y'all? Yes. I don't mean concrete-footed like mafia stuff. I realized how that sounded. I'm talking more like, you know, people that are stuck here and they can't move anywhere. I know. I realized that. She's Italian and, oh, my God. I don't know where that God made me say that. I don't know where that come up here. Yeah, I did it. I called you up to the front. Come on. Because I can't finish this talk today without you here beside me.
Yeah.
No, you cannot. So whatever this is going to look like, y'all hold on to your shorts. Because we're still creating. One of the things that we've learned is that we are not bound by a physical presence with each other. You know, we love that. But we also communicate with each other without seeing each other, without speaking to each other. We communicate with those who've gone beyond this life with each other. And so we have the unseen connection. We have the seen connection. And somewhere in between there, literally, is the virtual world. Okay? I believe that the virtual online experience we're living in right now is practice for greater communication through the ethers. Okay? Have you ever thought of technology in that term? That this is what I think. So Kit and I are going to see what that looks like. We're continuing to be colleagues. We are going to be, I'm sure she talked with you about this, but we're going to be creating in incredible ways. Are you willing to go along with us on the journey, my friends? Yes. Would you? May we be so bold as to ask for your unconditional support as we move forward and figure out what this looks like. Will you bless us with your hands? Will you? And all of you out there in virtual land who are with us, this is for you too, because you're as much a part of us. You have taught us how to do this. We thank you for that. Those of you who are in this community but decided not to come to the building, you want to sit at home and watch us, yay, hi. We ask your blessing and we receive it with gratitude. We take it right here. Because we're not done, it just looks different. And she'll be coming and going. Right now I want her to come back here a lot. But I know that she will do what her heart tells her. You've seen it. You've seen her do it. I hope you've seen me do it. We'll figure it out. We've got God. We've got that powerful urging of spirit. I love you, Kit Holmes.
I love you, Jill Carey. Pleasure doing business with you, ma'am.
You too. Thank you. Thank you for a really great time.
It was awesome.
Yes, it was. It was.
We should do this again sometime.
Yes, let's do.
Okay, cool.
Okay, good.
Great.
Yeah,
thanks.
See you next Sunday. Okay, bye-bye.
I say that because when we were itinerant minister, itinerant musician, we would say that after the Sundays that we'd work together, no matter where it was in Austin or where we would run into each other. Because it was so much fun. And it was just the connection that we have in the thing that we do. And it was just our way of saying, yeah, that was freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. It's a pleasure doing business with you, ma'am. See you next time.
Yeah.
And
same thing.
Same thing.
Same thing right now.
Absolutely.
Mm. Oh, sorry.
Don't do that. Jason's
okay.
Like, don't do
that. Sorry. Okay, you can sit down now.
Okay.
Let's pray. You don't have to bring anything to this meditation except yourself exactly as you are. That's it. If your heart's feeling a little achy or tender or you're not really sure what it is, just put your hand on your heart. And feel the reassurance of your touch with yourself. even as Jacob wrestled with an angel, he would not let the struggle end until the angel had blessed him. He knew that if he walked away bruised, that he was nonetheless blessed. And the angel did bless him. And that place was made holy. And Jacob said, "For the rest of my life, I will honor you, Spirit." So if you're wrestling with an angel right now, in your heart of hearts, ask for the blessing. For surely, as is promised, there is one. Claim what is yours. Your perfect path, no matter how it looks, is leading you step by step into all that is good. And now call upon, beloved, the gift of grace that has already been given you, and the tools of Spirit that are all inherent in you. Call upon the gifts you know and the ones you've forgotten to take you through everything. Everything. If you're fearful, if you're angry, if you're resentful, if you're uncertain, if you have doubts, call upon that same Spirit to heal that which needs to be healed and reveal that which needs to be revealed so that you might know the fullness of that good. It is in Scripture. The Master said, "Do you believe?" And the man answered, "I believe, help thou my unbelief." So wherever you're not certain, give it to Spirit and be free. Remember these words. And if you run into that second force, just put your hand on your heart and remember. I extend my hands to you. Near and far. In companionship, in support, in the knowing that all is well with your soul. All is well. And you are at peace right now. Bring your hands together like a pilgrim. So you can say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for my journey. Thank you for all the things I'm learning, easy and difficult. Thank you for the good that is mine. Thank you for the good for all. And so it is. Amen.